Welcome to our 100th deep dive.
Wow, 100 already.
Can you believe it?
Time flies.
It really does. And to celebrate, we're going to mix things up a bit.
Oh,
Literally.
okay, I'm intrigued.
We're diving into the world of cocktail party chemistry.
Cocktail party chemistry.
Yeah. We're going to explore the surprisingly fascinating topic of pH balance.
pH. You think that'll be a hit at a cocktail party?
Well, you might be thinking pH. Isn't that just something from high school chemistry? But trust me, there's so much more to it than you probably remember.
You might be right. It's true. A pH often gets kind of, stuck in textbooks and labs,
Right.
but it's really a powerful force that shapes the world around us in ways we might not even realize.
Exactly. So to kick things off, let's refresh our memories. What exactly is pH, and why should we care about it?
Well, at its core, pH is a measure of how acidic or basic a solution is. It's all about the concentration of those tiny little particles called hydrogen ions, or protons for short. But here's where things get really interesting. The pH of a molecule's environment can actually determine whether it holds on to those protons or releases them.
So it's like a molecular game of hot potato with these protons.
Exactly. And this exchange of protons, known as protonation, can drastically change a molecule's behavior.
Okay, so how does this proton exchange actually affect how a molecule acts? Give me a real-world example.
Okay, imagine a shy wallflower at a cocktail party. They're standing in the corner, not really interacting with anyone. Now, imagine that same person after they've had a drink or two, suddenly they're more outgoing, more talkative, maybe even a little bit bolder.
So you say molecules can get a little tipsy too.
In a way, yes. That drink for a molecule is an extra proton. When a molecule gains a proton, it can become more reactive, more eager to interact with other molecules, like it suddenly has the confidence to join the party.
That's a great analogy. So pH isn't just a number, it's like a master key that unlocks different behaviors in molecules.
Precisely. And this has huge implications for everything from the way our bodies function to the development of new technologies.
Speaking of our bodies, one of the things that stood out to me from the materials is how crucial pH balance is for maintaining our health.
Absolutely. Our bodies are like finely tuned machines, and they rely on a very specific pH range to operate smoothly. Our blood, for example, needs to stay within a very narrow pH range around 7.4. Even slight deviations can have serious consequences.
Right, I remember learning that even small changes in blood pH can be life-threatening. But how do our bodies manage to keep things so tightly regulated? We're constantly exposed to things that could throw off that balance, like the acidic foods we eat.
That's where buffers come in. They're the unsung heroes of biological balance. Buffers are like chemical shock absorbers, constantly working to resist changes in pH. They can neutralize excess acid or base, keeping the environment stable.
I'm struggling to picture how these buffers actually work. Could you walk me through a real-world example?
Okay, think of a thermostat in your house. It's designed to maintain a comfortable temperature, even when it's freezing outside or scorching hot. If the temperature starts to drop, the thermostat kicks in the heater to warm things up. If it gets too hot, it turns on the AC to cool things down.
Okay, so the thermostat is constantly making adjustments to keep the temperature stable.
Exactly. Buffers work in a similar way, but instead of regulating temperature, they regulate pH. If the pH starts to become too acidic, buffers will absorb excess hydrogen ions to bring it back up. If it gets too basic, they'll release hydrogen ions to lower. It's a constant push and pull, a delicate dance between acids and bases that keeps our biological systems humming along.
So our bodies are essentially running their own internal chemistry labs, constantly monitoring and adjusting pH levels.
It is quite remarkable, isn't it?
That's incredible.
And it highlights how interconnected everything is within our bodies.
Absolutely. But before we get too carried away with the intricacies of our internal chemistry labs, let's talk about something else that caught my eye, these titration curves. They sound a bit intimidating, like something you'd only encounter in a high school chemistry lab.
They might sound a bit technical, but titration curves are actually quite elegant. Imagine you're slowly adding a base to an acidic solution. A titration curve is simply a graph that tracks the pH changes throughout that process.
So it's like a visual representation of the acid-base battle as it unfolds.
Precisely. And what's really cool is that these curves can reveal a lot about the reaction itself. They can pinpoint the exact point where the acid and base perfectly neutralize each other. We call this the equivalence point.
So it's like a chemical climax where the acid and base reach a perfect balance.
Exactly. It's a moment of equilibrium, a point of resolution in the chemical drama.
This is really making me think about all the things we take for granted, like how our bodies regulate pH without us even knowing. Is this process ever disrupted? What happens then?
That's a great question, and it leads us to some even more fascinating aspects of pH. Well, sometimes our body's natural buffering systems get a little overwhelmed.
Oh no.
And that's when things can start to go a bit wrong.
I see.
Various health conditions can actually disrupt pH balance, leading to problems like acidosis or alkalosis.
So it's like those pH shock absorbers we were talking about. They're working overtime.
Yeah, exactly.
But they just can't quite keep up.
Right, exactly. But it's not just our internal environment where pH balance is crucial.
Oh, right.
The pH of our surroundings plays a huge role as well. Take the environment, for instance.
Okay.
The pH of soil and water can really impact plant and animal life.
Right, acid rain?
You got it.
I remember learning about how it damages forests and lakes.
Exactly. Acid rain is a prime example of what happens when that natural buffering capacity of an ecosystem is kind of exceeded. Pollutants like sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxides, they react with water in the atmosphere,
okay,
forming acids that lower the pH of rainwater.
So it's like those pH shock absorbers we were talking about, but on a much, much larger scale.
Precisely. And when those natural buffers are overwhelmed,
yeah,
it can have a domino effect throughout the entire ecosystem.
Wow.
Acid rain can leach essential nutrients from soil, making it difficult for plants to grow. And it can also acidify lakes and streams, harming fish and other aquatic life.
It's amazing to think about how something as seemingly simple as pH can have such far-reaching consequences.
It really highlights the interconnectedness of everything in our world.
It also makes me wonder, are there any situations where extreme pH is actually a good thing? I tend to think of anything extreme as being bad news.
That's a fair assumption, but extreme pH can actually be quite useful in some surprising ways. Think about corrosion, that rusty old car in your driveway.
Oh, yeah.
That's a prime example of highly acidic conditions kind of driving a chemical reaction.
So the same force that causes damage can also be harnessed for other purposes.
Exactly. We use acids to clean metals all the time. You know, that high acidity helps dissolve away rust and impurities.
So it's like a controlled form of destruction.
Yeah, you could say that. But on the flip side, extreme acidity can also be used for preservation. Think about pickled foods.
Oh, yeah.
Cucumbers, onions, even eggs.
Pickles.
They're preserved by their high acidity, which inhibits the growth of bacteria that would otherwise spoil them.
That's a great example. It's amazing how pH can be both a destructive force and a preserving force.
It all comes down to understanding how to control and manipulate pH to our advantage.
And speaking of control, one of the things that really fascinated me from the materials is how scientists are harnessing the power of pH in fields like medicine and environmental science.
Absolutely. Mastering pH control is essential in a wide range of scientific disciplines. For instance, in biochemistry, understanding how pH affects protein structure and function is crucial for developing new drugs and therapies.
So knowing how pH influences those tiny molecules can lead to breakthroughs in treating diseases.
Precisely. And in environmental science, manipulating pH is key to things like wastewater treatment and controlling pollution.
It's incredible how something we learned about in high school chemistry can have such a profound impact on so many aspects of our lives.
It just goes to show that even the most fundamental scientific principles can have far-reaching applications.
Okay, so we've talked about how pH affects molecules, our bodies, and the environment. But one thing I'm still curious about is how scientists actually measure and control pH in these different scenarios. It seems like it would require some pretty precise tools and techniques.
You're absolutely right. Measuring and controlling pH, it's essential in a lot of different scientific applications. And luckily, there's a whole array of tools and methods designed for this purpose. One of the most common techniques is using a pH meter.
A pH meter?
Yeah, it uses an electrode to measure the electrical potential difference between the solution and a reference electrode.
So it's like a tiny voltmeter, but specifically designed for pH.
Exactly. And these pH meters, they can be incredibly sensitive. They allow scientists to really hone in on those pH values and measure them with great accuracy. But it's not just about measuring pH.
Right.
Controlling it is often even more crucial.
So how do scientists go about manipulating pH in a controlled way?
Well, one common method is actually using buffers.
Oh, okay.
You know those chemical shock absorbers we were talking about earlier?
Right.
By carefully selecting the right buffer system, scientists can maintain a very specific pH range.
Okay.
Even as acids or bases are added to the solution.
So it's like creating a tiny little self-regulating environment.
Precisely. And this is essential in a lot of different applications, from biochemical experiments to even industrial processes.
Wow.
But beyond buffers, there are a variety of other techniques for pH control.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, things like adding acids or bases directly, using specialized membranes to separate ion, or even employing electrochemical methods.
It sounds like a whole toolbox of tricks for manipulating pH.
It really is, and as our understanding of pH and its implications grows, so too does that ability to harness its power in increasingly sophisticated ways.
Well, this deep dive into pH has really opened my eyes to a whole world of chemistry I honestly never knew existed. But before we wrap up this special 100th episode, what's one key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
I'd say this: never underestimate the importance of balance, whether it's the delicate pH balance within our own bodies or the intricate equilibrium of ecosystems, maintaining balance, it's essential for life as we know it. And understanding the power of pH, this seemingly simple measure of acidity and basicity, is key to appreciating the interconnectedness and really the fragility of our world.
That's a beautiful way to put it. And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder the power of balance and continue your own deep dive into the fascinating world of pH. Thanks for joining us on this special 100th episode of The Deep Dive.